Hello, America, and welcome to yet another, well, frankly, exhausted installment of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons. Say hi, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. All right, so it is the week after E3, and I think we're all kind of still recovering.
Yeah, more or less.
As you probably noticed, we didn't have a show last week, and, well, that's kind of why.
Yeah, can't say you can't
we were really shot to me. Fucking hell.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. But... obviously, of course, we're going to have to kind of play catch up for these 2 weeks. Won't be too hard, though. We're going to be discussing, well,
stuff.
Some stuff, some political stuff, a recent historical find that is neat, but also not at all shocking. Mm-hmm. We've also got some sports news, including Michael Phelps doing something stupid. And of course, we got some stops. We got some science news, some movie news, and we'll probably throw in some other stuff in there, depending on how it all goes.
Yep.
So, with that, it is now time to get started on yet another installment of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off, Phil, what have you been up to these last 2 weeks?
So, I was moving. Now I'm not moving. So,
what?
Yeah, so that's a thing. So all of the stuff that I packed, I now have to unpack. So that's fun.
Wow.
But that's okay, because moving would have sucked more. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's been a thing. Got most of it unpacked now. There's still a bunch of boxes in the hallway, but we'll get through those pretty quickly, because it's mostly DVDs and CDs and all that fun stuff, so... yeah, that will sort itself out pretty quick. So that's been one thing I've been doing, and I've been trying to catch up on Babylon 5. Yeah, I know it's old, and I'm probably, you know, a couple of decades out of date, but apparently
and yet somehow still manages to hold up surprisingly well.
Yeah, well, I heard, it's supposedly really good, and around Season 3 is when it really, really picks up, so... mm-hmm. Just so happens I'm right about Season 3 now, so yeah. I'm hoping that it's going to get really good. So, I found the box set for pretty cheap, so I picked it up. And, I'm not regretting it so far. It's got a lot of very, very interesting characters, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
But that's something J. Michael Straczynski is, you know, usually pretty good at, so I can't say I'm too surprised. Good to see how it got started. So there's been that. Also, I've been doing some random gaming here and there. I'm still going through my idle game phases with Adventure Capitalist and Clicker Heroes, and then I'm also playing Diablo 3 and Tekken 7. I think I threw a little Street Fighter 5 in there. I can't remember anymore.
Cool.
But so all of that is happening on my PS4 Pro now. I got that yesterday.
Nice.
Immediately swapped the hard drive. that 5400 RPM drive, that's not going to cut it.
That's no.
Yeah.
So I swapped in the hybrid I had in my older PS4, and it's pretty good. I'll probably talk more at length about the PS4 Pro itself, but... suffice to say, and Chris can probably back me up on it, it's a better PS4. It's not really anything special except for when you get games that specifically support it. And then, you know, you get some benefits there, but it's like, for example, Wipeout Omega Collection, I see no benefit whatsoever. Because the base PS4 tune of that game is already running at 1080p60.
So without going to 4K, you don't really get any extra benefit.
Not in that game. Yeah, in that game, it's strictly resolution. So if you're going to 4K, then you'll see a benefit there. But I did notice quite a bit of a difference in Diablo 3. It's just everything looks a lot smoother on the Pro. So, yeah, it's a good little system. I'm not really too complaining. Well, complaining too much. Apart from that, what I'm going to call the Sony build quality problem.
Oh, dear.
It's, it's not great. It feels a little chintzy. Buttons
really?
Buttons are kind of a little wobbly. There's like mold marks on the corners of the plastic, and it's like,
no, you know, that's not cool.
Really, this is the best PlayStation that you sell. You'd think you could spend a little time and actually, you know, work on the fit and finish of it. Yeah, exactly. It's a little, that part of it is a little disappointing, but other than that, I like it. It's a good little system, and it's now my main PS4, and I'm going to have a lot of fun with that.
It's going to get the shit played out of it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, one thing I will point out is it's actually very quiet. It's actually
really?
It's actually quieter than the base PS4, so... Of course, the PS4 I had was a space heater, so that's, you know, setting the bar kind of low. So I don't know how quiet the Slims are, because I haven't had any experience with that, but compared to the, launch gen PS4 that I had, it's much, much quieter. So, yeah, it's a good system. I'm not regretting it. And that's pretty much it for me.
Cool. As for me, I've been getting deeper and deeper into the streaming. I'll be talking about some developments on that front on social media pretty imminently. I'm planning on bringing Sound Off back this weekend, so hopefully that actually happens. The content itself is materializing, so that's a good sign. Other than that, I'm just kind of following hockey stuff. We just had an expansion draft in the NHL to give the Vegas Golden Knights a roster.
Yeah.
And tonight, as we speak, in fact, is the first round of the NHL entry draft, which has been interesting to say the least. The player that I had going first overall... far and away the best player in the draft somehow slipped to number 17 to Toronto.
So they got a bargain.
They got a steal is what they got. I mean, this is a guy who has been compared to Nicklas Lidström, the legendary Detroit defenseman. So, yeah. His name's Tim Liljegren, and get used to hearing a lot about him because... He's, as far as I'm concerned, the best player in the draft. And honestly, the fact that he went to an already really good team in Toronto means you're going to be hearing about the effects that the addition of his talent provides a lot sooner than later. So I actually had that in the show notes, but I guess we can skip over that now.
fair to mention up front, I guess.
But yeah, that's been fun.
All right. Well, Teresa, what about you?
I have been playing a lot of Pokemon Go the past few days. The gyms came back up. They did a big overhaul of the gyms and the Pokestops. And the gyms came back up after being down for, I want to say, about 3 days. So all those bastard spoofers got kicked out of the gyms, which I was very, very glad to see. So I've been kind of getting into the new gym dynamic and seeing how that is. And it is different. You have to stay in the gym for a couple hours before you get any coins. Then your coins get given to you when your Pokemon returns, and there are... ways to support a gym that's in your own team. You feed berries. Doesn't have to be, any particular berries, whatever you have too much of.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to get rid of. I like the new mechanic, and I really, really, really hope that they have fixed the spoofer issue. because whoever fucking Shifty Pants was, a pox on you. I hated you. You took over my entire town, and you made everything shit for like 3 months. And yeah, but Shifty Pants, fuck yourself.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they can probably spot that kind of stuff now. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. If somebody happens
let's weekend on blast tonight.
Yep. But it's been fun. And then I did not get tickets for the big Pokemon event next month that's going on in Grant Park. I had put down the wrong sale date. So I had the sale date listed as like 2 days later. And I got the email, and of course, by the time I got the email saying the sale was open, the tickets were sold out.
Ooh.
So, yeah. And they were kind of pricey, especially when you're taking three people.
Yeah.
One of which who hates Pokemon Go and thinks that the adults are addicted. However, I have a friend who is going, and I'm sure they're going to find a way to shut this shit down, but I'm going to drive all the way over to her house. She's on the other side of the suburbs, and I'm going to give her my phone for the day. I will part with my phone. It's that bad. So, yeah, a lot of that's been going on. And I think I got Poison Ivy wading through some weeds to get to one of the gyms that has been taken over by construction. So, I definitely got my ankles ripped up by thistle bushes.
The things you'll do for Pokemon Go.
You know, really. But I've been playing Magikarp Jump. Great little fun game for when you're sitting on the can. What else could I say?
Well, at least Magikarp, the most useless Pokemon in existence, actually gets some kind of support.
And I haven't found out yet if the mad scientist that will give your Magikarp a drink will turn your shiny Magikarp into a red Gyarados. So I'm kind of, you know, hanging around waiting to fish up another shiny. And the last two shinies that I fished up and I've let her experiment on them, they've just had their levels increased or whatnot. So no red Gyarados. Don't know if that happens. Not going to look it up because I don't want to spoil it for myself. Final Fantasy 14, been playing the shit out of that too. Oh yeah, yep. I have so far to go before I could do Stormblood though. So far, but it's okay, it's all right. But watching a lot of TV, we revisited Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, and so we're bringing the kid up right, you know. And I can't wait until we go watch Shin Chan with him. That's gonna be great. But lots of TV stuff. Too much to talk about. Lots of good stuff going on. Oh, and I haven't watched Poldark yet, even though they've been airing that over in England. So I will be getting into that, but maybe after the kid goes to summer camp.
Yeah, might be a good idea.
Yeah. So, who's right. next?
Chris.
So I checked out the Lego Batman movie. I got another 99-cent rental thing. So that was a really good movie. Very much following in the steps of the Lego movie, but this time focusing on the Batman universe. And it's a big celebration of the, what is it now, like 50, 60 years of Batman at this point. They do lots of references. I assume every single thing they show there is a reference to something, because they show like a bunch of his costumes, and there's a lot of ones that look like they're racist and all that, and it's like, those are probably from the 50s and 60s and such.
Probably.
Yeah, definitely, it's a really well-done movie, and it was particularly poignant to watch it now, as Adam West passed away recently. And they do plenty of references to that show, especially because Robin in here is dressed just like the Robin in that show.
There's one point, he keeps his pants on.
Yeah, he particularly jokes about how he can't move with the pants on, so he rips them off. Yeah, it's really well done. It's another good movie in that vein. I'm looking forward to seeing what those people continue to do in the future. And they do some really good stuff in terms of bringing other WB stuff into it, because there's a whole plot point of them going into the Phantom Zone. What's trapped there is like the Gremlins, Jaws, the Jurassic Park dinosaurs, and a bunch of other stuff from various other W movies. Sauron's in there. Voldemort is in there. It's
a bunch of crazy stuff. Him in there. It was great.
And they, Joker managed to let them out. So they wreak havoc on Gotham City, which for this particular story is somehow just built on a plate above like a nothingness black hole. And so they're trying to blow up an energy core in the energy plant that'll somehow split the city in two and dump everybody into this void of nothingness or whatever it is. It's a really weird plot point. But yeah, it's pretty cool. As for games, played some more Watch Dogs 2. Kind of just enjoying running around in that city as it's based on San Francisco and some of the surrounding areas. Because they have a sort of weird collection thing where you go find like unique points in the city. So like, oh, here's the Golden Gate Bridge, or here's these like smaller iconic areas in various neighborhoods in the city.
Sightseeing tour.
Yeah, kind of. And you just basically pull out your camera and do a picture of it. Either from the back of the camera or like a selfie. And as you do more of it, you unlock more selfie gestures. So you can get some really silly stuff in there. And there are actual people can actually photobomb your selfies. There's an actual trophy for that, which is funny to see. So I was trying to get that trophy, and like first try doing it, this guy just starts doing like muscle flexing gestures behind me. It's like, oh, that's really silly. And the one cool thing they do with the app is basically as you see the list, it'll just show you like you're 150 meters away from this and just run around where the numbers start going down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I got to the right thing. Here's this guy called the Bushman. He's dressed like a homeless man, but with like two ferns attached to him. So it's like he's hiding in a bush. There's a guy in a lobster suit. Other weird things like that. And sort of along with that, I started up Watch Dogs, the original that's on Games with Gold.
Yeah.
On Xbox One. And man, talk about a 180 in terms of tone. And it just starts off really grimdark.
Yeah.
As you play Aiden Pierce in Chicago, and due to your hacker stuff, your family is targeted and your niece gets killed.
Yeah.
And then you're set off on this vengeance tale, I guess. And one of the weird things they start off right away is you go find crimes. It's a very weird mechanic, and I was chasing a guy down. It's like, well, I'd just run after him, sort of like an Assassin's Creed following mission or something like that, except not as fun or interesting because he's just a dude.
Yeah.
And then you just beat up the guy, or cases I would just shoot him. It's like, well, this is an easy way to take him down. Then people start freaking out and calling the cops. I just run away. I don't know, it's the tone of it is just not very good, and it feels like very much an early generation game compared to the new game, which is more playful and less serious. Considering it's about hackers. They do take some serious tones in that game, but yeah, the original is just a weird game to come into after Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah.
As for other stuff, I've been playing more Horizon Zero Dawn, which is still really good. kind of just going around and doing various things. Like, there's collectibles I have on the map, trying to do them. There's certain things I'm not sure if I'm able to actually do them yet, or I have to sort of push forward in the story to unlock certain abilities. I'm not sure yet. Because there are these things called vantage points, which are sort of weird ways that you're able to glimpse into the past, sort of see what some of these structures were like back when civilization was not collapsed.
Yeah.
There's some really impressive structures that I found. There's one that seemed to be really hard to get to. It's in this sort of city area. It's taken over by plants, and the buildings are all kind of destroyed for the most part. But it seems like I either can't find the specific spot or it's in an area I can't reach yet, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But as for the combat, I've been really enjoying that. Getting into some more difficult enemies that can't just be sort of easily killed with stealth.
Yeah.
So now I got to figure out new ways of doing things.
Hmm.
But yeah, still enjoying it a lot, and look forward to playing more of that. And still doing my YouTube stuff. My free-to-play game I featured this week is Warframe.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot of fun to play. I bought one of the new Warframes, which is called Octavia, which is a cyber techno Warframe. So it's supposed to play like music and shit, but I have to level her up a bit more to unlock some more of the abilities for that. But so far it's been pretty cool. They've done a lot of work on that game. Still continuing to do work. Considering how old it is, I want to say like the first videos I saw of it had to been like 2012, 2011, something like that.
I was there at the PS4 launch, so it's,
yeah,
you know,
it was even earlier at the PS3, not the PS3, PC.
Yeah,
out for a while there. It seems like they've messed with the campaign a bit. That there was actually a campaign.
Yeah,
I didn't really notice that. So I actually like beat a boss. Something of a boss, I guess. He's a weird, ugly-looking dude that shows up on half the screen whenever he has to get his story out.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to get back into. They added more to that ship that you can explore. So there's like a whole second floor in the bottom.
Yeah.
Which is weird. There's nothing there yet, so I obviously haven't played enough of it to unlock it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting that there's like, oh, the ship is now bigger somehow. Wasn't the ship I was in before. let's see, the fresh play game I picked out of my backlog was Legend of K Anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Tried that out, and there's a reason why nobody's really heard of that game. It's not very good. The voice acting is pretty bad. It feels like a lot of the writing is just from somebody that's not a writer. So run to this guy that is just guarding an area that I'm not supposed to get to, and he's like, there'll be ropes here later, so come back later. It's like, that's not really a good story reason for not coming back here. It's just very weird. I was really mystified by how shiny the floor is in this one, the starting building you're in. It's like, this isn't like a technologically advanced time. But these floors are waxed like they had very expensive floor buffers. It's really shiny. It's like, this is not how, it's not how floors look like in like a kung fu movie.
Beeswax and slaves is like, yeah. You know.
Well, the cat people are kind of slaves now. The gorillas and the rats. Very weird game. As for the anniversary I celebrated this week, it is Sonic. Today is his 26th birthday. So I played some of the original Sonic, which was... it's weird how much that changes once you get to the second level.
Because
the first level is classic Sonic. You push to the right, try to jump when necessary, but you mostly just run to the right. You go up loop-de-loops and all that. And then the second level is in this weird Altered Beast style level. It feels like it's assets from that game. And it's a lot of just slow, traditional platforming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of platforms you just have to stand on as it takes you over to the other side and occasionally jump over obstacles.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like a completely different tone than the first set of levels. And it's Sonic is just a weird game to think about compared to every other platformer where the rings aren't like the coins in Mario. They're actually your health.
Yeah.
So you got to protect your coins at all cost. And that's just a weird mechanic of you're not really collecting coins to get lives, though you kind of are. But they're just your protection against taking damage. So it's really annoying when you have like 50 rings going to a boss fight, you get hit once and you got three after that.
Yeah. Like your rings just explode everywhere and it's like...
And you're like, oh.
You can't pick up all of the ones that drop.
No, but you end up with like 2% of the rings you had.
Yeah.
Somehow can't even get back half of what you had. And then you're just left with one ring. You're like, oh god, don't get hit by the stupid ball that Robotnik is throwing at you. Yeah, and that's been pretty much it. So how about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, right now I am, well, because I'm doing it for the side, I'm playing Valkyria Revolution. Of course, I'm still under embargo until Tuesday.
Okay.
But suffice it to say that I'm going to have some things to say about this game's gameplay.
Okay. We will, won't be able to talk about it Sunday, but we will talk about it the Sunday after that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, the storytelling and, you know, the writing is actually, I like it. It's actually pretty good, but, you'll find out.
Stay tuned.
You think this game is going to be the thing that causes them to not make any more Valkyria Chronicles games? Even though it's a spinoff and not really related?
Wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Or do you think it doesn't seem like it's probably going to sell that well?
Yeah, you'll have to just wait.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I got that, you know, after I got the... review code, so I've been playing it pretty much since Wednesday. So other than that, I gotta be honest, I have become just full on Gundam trash. Because I'm still watching a lot of Iron-Blooded Orphans. It is a great series. I also started up, because thanks to Crunchyroll, by the way, just real quick on Crunchyroll, I don't have a subscription.
Mm-mm.
As I'm going to guess some of you also don't.
Right.
I had it at one point, then I just didn't use it enough to be worth it.
Does anyone else have problems with... Okay, so if you don't have a subscription, you have to watch some ads, you know, some commercials, and that's fine. You know, that doesn't bother me. Does anyone else have that problem where the commercials just kind of stutter?
No, because I use an ad blocker in Chrome.
Well, I'm actually watching it on my PS4. No.
Oh. No.
So I can watch it on my big TV.
Yeah. Well, if the commercials themselves are stuttering and the actual content isn't, it's like, does that kind of sound like what you're having?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually the commercials that are just encoded crappily.
Yeah, because a lot of folks don't know this, but if you're watching Crunchyroll on your PS4, the ads will be tailored to your particular area.
Yeah. So it's basically badly encoded video. You never know what you're going to end up with. So.
Yeah. It's like, you know, a minute-long ad can end up being 2.5 minutes long.
All right. It's really great for the brands.
Yeah,
but anyway, so Yeah, so on top of Iron Blooded Orphans, I also started watching Gundam Wing.
Oh, dear.
Which is old school.
Old.
Not only
really
old school,
fucking good.
It is one of the 90s-est 90s anime you will ever watch. Just literally all of it. The soundtrack, the character designs. It's just, it is early 90s all over it. It is good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's a great anime. But so other than that, I went ahead and I'm getting the DVD collection of a more recent Gundam series, which is Turn A Gundam. That one is kind of weird because the way that the producers tell it is that Gundam, the Turn A Gundam, is eventually where all of the Gundam timelines eventually end up.
Okay.
It's like this distant, like far distant future scenario. And basically all of the different Gundam lines, Universal Century, Catastrophe Century, blah, 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 they all eventually end up there.
Yeah.
And something else I kind of want to watch is Victory Gundam, because I've been told that one is probably the darkest of all of the Gundam series, like even more Gundam than Mobile Suit Z Gundam. Also really creepy too, because like the hero of that series is this 13-year-old boy named Uso, and there's this like one of the it's not I don't think they're Zeon, they're something else. I think they're called like the Saccharin Empire or something like that. Yeah, one of their leaders is this 27-year-old woman that totally tries to perv on him.
Ooh.
Japan.
Yeah.
Yay, cougar.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so just I full on have embraced it. I have dove in head first and I'm not coming out. And other than that, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm arranging to get a sleep study. Have any of you guys ever had a sleep study before?
No, but I know somebody who was supposed to have one twice now, and do it. It's worth it, probably.
Yeah. So basically, the reason you get a sleep study is if your medical doctor suspects that you may have some sort of condition like sleep apnea. For those who don't know what sleep apnea is, it's basically a condition where you basically stop breathing briefly while you're asleep. Now, usually you do recover, but the thing is that if you really do have sleep apnea, this will happen like several times per hour. Like my dad,
strain on your heart.
Not just cause a strain on your heart, but it basically starves you of oxygen. And so you wake up in the morning feeling like shit, and your body is basically trying to recover.
Yeah.
For the rest of the day. My dad, for example, went to get his sleep study a couple years ago, and he ended up stopped breathing like 60 times per hour. So that's like every minute he's going like...
Yep.
That's,
Yeah, that'll mess you up.
Real quick.
What?
It'll mess you up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, it really will. And the thing is, you know, and because the thing is, you know, a lot of people will associate sleep apnea with like weight or diet, but the truth is that a lot of times it's genetic.
Yeah.
And I've got it on both sides of my family, so.
And it can also be just simply a soft tissue thing, especially as you age. You know, you get you lose the muscle tone, and that includes the soft palate in the back of your mouth. your uvula, or, you know, it could be that you need your tonsils taken out. You might need that balloon surgery that enlarges your sinuses. There's a bunch of crap. Your tongue could be too big. I mean,
you just never know.
Well, I don't know if you I don't know if you, but you guys have definitely noticed. When I speak for an extended period of time, I have a tendency to start yawning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
Could be why.
Yeah.
That's a sign?
Yeah. It can be.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've also, you know, I snore pretty loudly, apparently, when I sleep. And I have had people tell me that, yes, I do stop on occasion when I'm sleeping. Now, my mom claims is that whenever I've slept over, you know, that I snore, but I snore continuously. My grandmother, on the other hand, has heard me do
the catch-up breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, both my medical doctor, my therapist, and my grandmother, who I, you know, sort of bow to her wisdom, have said that it might be a good idea to get one. So, now it's just a matter of finding out if my insurance covers it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we run into trouble. Because for ours, very quickly, we had to go to the sleep study specialist and have... You have to get a referral for that. Then you have to get, like, how many visits you can have with him. Then you have to get the thing for the sleep study. And, oh, Jesus, Phil, why can't we just come with you? This is something that was supposed to have been done for Scott, who is skinny as a rail, like, I don't know, 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, I have a sneaking suspicion if you need a sleep study in Canada that Medicare will cover it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they do.
Hence, since sleep apnea is a medical condition, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to drive up to Toronto. I don't know. But
I don't know that it works that way.
Well, even the private clinics up here are still more affordable than what you got down there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
anyway, so I believe that is all. Anybody got anything else they want to add?
It's hot.
Yeah, it is very hot. Especially down south here. It got up to the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're living in a desert state like Arizona or Utah, you have... Well, you can't really react to us because you've probably melted by now.
Yeah.
Hot enough in Arizona to shut down many flights.
Yeah, because it was like...
It was hotter than the recommended temperature ranges.
Yeah, it was like 120.
Yeah. I heard somebody down...
Wheels fused to the tarmac at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend down in California. He says he's got solar panels on his roof. Because it got so hot, the solar panel stopped working.
Oh, God! Sorry, that's pretty funny.
He's got to get shade for his solar panels.
Yeah.
Oh, the humidity has been wretched.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's been bad down here, too. Because we get, you know, it basically rains down here, like, every 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And... It just never lets up.
Nope.
Well, there were a couple of days in the past 2 weeks where it felt like I was living in Kentucky again. I'm like, oh, God, make it stop. I just walk out and, you know, your eyelashes are sweating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Yeah.
So a few days ago, after we had a couple of rainstorms go through, the actual temperature went down a little bit. It got down to around the mid-70s,
yeah.
You know, for that one day. And also, it was overcast, so there wasn't, you know, any bright sunshine.
Mm.
So, you know, I wasn't worried about heat or anything, so I went and go out, do my, you know, daily 2-mile walk, and went down to the track over at the high school. Did about a mile and a half, then had to quit and come back. And I was completely soaking wet because it felt like I just, you know, hiked through the Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, when the gyms came up, it was 93 degrees, and my fool ass went out at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I, yeah, it was pretty miserable. That was instant shower time, and I got home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the record, this is not unheard of down here. Yeah. It's just summer.
Yep.
I mean, hell, the way that the weather works down here is just completely crazy. Hell, you live in a desert state, it's even crazier. I mean, you know, once in Utah, it actually snowed in July?
Hmm.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
No, Patrick can probably confirm this one.
Hmm.
But anyway, okay, so with all that out of the way, it is now time once again for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, despite everyone's best actions and what we've desperately been trying to do, the Ku Klux Klan is still very much alive. They are the wean on the ass of American history that just refuses to die. And the thing about the Klan that makes them especially infuriating isn't just their ideology or their actions. It's because they look so fucking stupid.
Yeah, they do.
You got those robes, those pointy hats, and it's just so corny. You know, and there's just something, I don't know. I don't know why it's, they piss me off the same way those alt-right Pepe douchebags do. Because, you know, they're being horribly racist and intolerant and also being a bunch of fucking nerds at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Back when the original first Ku Klux Klan started after the Civil War, the sort of image that we have now of the Klan, it, you know, as all the sort of unified white robes and pointy hoods, their costumes back then were a bit more varied and a little bit more, shall we say, not as unified. Also, they took some of those infamous titles like, you know, Grand Dragon, Grand Magi, Grand Cyclops, Grand Wizard. They took that seriously, and their costumes reflected it, because basically a lot of the costumes they wore were some of the same shit they'd wear, you know, like costume balls.
Hmm.
You know? And all the while, they said that they were doing it just for fun. Does any of that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Well, after that Klan disappeared, and then in the early 20th century they reappeared on the top of Stone Mountain in my home state of Georgia, they sort of had their big offshoot during the Great Depression, and then there was some groups that would split off and form their own groups. The one I'm going to talk about today is an organization called the Black Legion. This was a offshoot of the Klan that originally started out in East Central Ohio and eventually made its way up to the state of Michigan, where it had about 30,000 members by the mid-30s. Now, here's the thing, first of all, that you need to know about the Black Legion. This is what their costumes looked like.
They look like something out of a really bad Monty Python sketch.
Yeah.
Looks like a bad last-minute Halloween costume.
You know?
Well, first of all, just for the record, I need to point out that the gentlemen wearing the costumes in that photograph were not actually Black Legion members. Those are actual Black Legion costumes. Those are actually two policemen wearing them to photograph them for evidence. And you're going to see why, and you're going to find out why in just a second. But basically, these guys, the Black Legion, like I said, they were an offshoot of the Klan, and their ideology basically was reminiscent of what the Klan tended to focus on in the early 20th century, which is, yes, they hated black people, but they also had a huge hate boner on for Catholics, Jews, and the recent immigrants that started showing up in the U.S., you know, after the big migration and started showing up on Ellis Island, et cetera, et cetera. So these guys basically ran roughshod through the state of Michigan until about 1937. Malcolm X actually said during his lifetime that, for those of you who don't know, Malcolm X's father died in 1931, and he long suspected that he was actually lynched by the Black Legion. Since they, you know, his dad died in Lansing, Michigan, and the Black Legion actually operated in that general area during that time.
Yeah.
It was basically made up of native-born white men from the Midwest, many of whom had actually immigrated originally from the South. And, of course, they all, like I said earlier, their targets were immigrants, Catholics, Jews, black people, non-traditional Protestant faiths, labor unions, farm co-ops, and various fraternities that they just didn't like. But all of this eventually came to a head in 1936. In 1936, they kidnapped and murdered a gentleman by the name of Charles A. Poole, who was a Works Progress Administration organizer in, I think it was in Wayne County, in, I think that's in Michigan, yeah. Now, they claimed that the reason they did it was because Charles Poole was allegedly a wife beater. The more probable reason that it happened is because he was an ethnic French Catholic who was married to a Protestant woman.
Mm-hmm. Now, did they say which ethnicity he was? I mean, just out of
He was an ethnic French Catholic, which means he was actually French.
Hmm. Woo! Sleep.
Yeah. Then it was revealed that the Wayne County prosecutor, a gentleman by the name of Duncan McCrae, was an ex-member of the group. And then he vowed to bring the killers to justice. Dean, the guy who actually shot and killed the guy, he basically turned around and he testified against the other 11 men involved. Basically, all 12 of them were basically convicted on murder and or manslaughter charges, and that was basically the end of the Black Legion in the state of Michigan. Of course, well, I say end, it was more or less the start of the end of the state of Michigan, because eventually what happened is that started sort of a snowball effect where a bunch of other groups ended up, where a bunch of other killings found their way to have been linked to the Black Legion, and it basically all but destroyed the organization. And it no longer exists anymore.
Did the guy who turned on them, did he, like, live out a normal life?
Oh, no. He went to prison, too.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Basically, okay. He escaped the death penalty because of his testimony.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, the reason this whole thing is well known is because the whole sort of story of the Black Legion was actually adapted into a feature film in 1937, actually starring none other than Humphrey Bogart. The thing is, however, is that this particular version of the Black Legion story is, if you ever watched a movie, it's meant to pretty clearly be actually talking about the Klan.
Hmm.
But, unfortunately, the Klan is still very much alive. They are pretty much almost fixing, about to disappear off the face of the earth, and yet, much like Hydra, one yeah. goes down, two more will take their place.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
I think.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. So.
We need to get the sound effect on a drop for these podcasts.
Yeah, we really do.
I'll see if I can dig it up.
Yeah. So it's time now to sort of more or less get the show proper started. And the first thing, of course, is our assholes of the week. And you know what? During these past 2 weeks, we did have a share of choices. We had the guy who tried to drive in England, who tried to drive his van into a bunch of Muslims leaving their mosque. Mm-hmm. There was the guy who tried to shoot up the congressional baseball team practice in D.C. The only actual congressman he managed to hit was Scalise. Let's see, there was that dude who just randomly stabbed and killed a Muslim woman for no reason, and I think it was New York. Ours this week is, well, these 2 weeks is, unfortunately, we kind of had to play Murder Olympics with this one, but ultimately, these douchebags ended up getting the largest body count. So our assholes of the week are every single guilty motherfucker responsible for the deaths at the Greenfell fire. So for those of you who don't know, Greenfell Fire was a housing development, a tower in London. It was made up of mostly immigrants and workers, and it was notorious for having really shitty landlords who did everything they could to cut quarters.
They call them estates over there.
Yeah, they're estates.
And it's essentially what the Section 8 slums are over here.
Yeah.
Not the good Section 8, the ones that are slums.
We call them projects over here.
Yeah, we used to call it Cabrini Green around Chicago until they tore it down, displaced everybody, which was horrible, and then put up, really expensive condos.
Yeah. Because gentrification fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm. It does.
But what happened is, first of all, you need to know that this particular tower, they actually had a Greenfell Action Committee that's been working for years trying to bring to light the bullshit that was going on with this place. And ultimately, what happened is that it was the, what did they call it? The panning? Apparently what happened is that there was shitty wiring in the building. There was a fire that caught in a refrigerator in one of the apartments. It then caught fire. It then basically went up in flames very quickly due to the very shoddy paneling. The landlords basically used shitty lower quality paneling that is notorious for basically being a bit more flammable than the ones they use now, and they never updated it. Speaking of which, the reason they actually used a particular paneling, it came out, was because they used it so they could save about 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And the blame for this one goes it spreads around. For example, there was former London Mayor Boris Johnson who cut about 1,300 jobs from the London Fire Department. There was Theresa May, who, of course, is currently the Prime Minister, though probably not for much longer.
Nope.
Who, during her time as an MP, did everything to try and defund all of these major services and utilities. There, of course, are the asshole landlords who it is now come to light that because of they found the cause of the fire, they are probably going to be charged with manslaughter. Mm. And yeah, it just spreads around, and now 60 plus people are dead
because they wanted to save a buck.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that just no, everything about this just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
I live in a high rise.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know the things that they do here to keep us safe.
Yeah.
And we have the fire sprinklers tested every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that they do, and the sprinklers are always going to work. If there's a water pressure drop, immediately the management company is notified so they could find out what has happened. Is there a leak somewhere? You know, are people going to die? What the hell is going on?
Oh, that's another thing I forgot to mention.
Don't forget the sprinklers.
Yeah, there were none.
Mm-hmm.
Greenfell Tower had no sprinklers.
God damn people.
Mm-hmm.
Suck.
And now they're mass murderers.
Yeah.
They kind of are, dude. They kind of are.
And, the political fallout to this for the Tories has been, it's been bad. Jeremy Corbyn is now literally more popular than Theresa May is. And considering considering the fact that she's kind of directly, indirectly responsible for it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, have you seen the footage of... Okay, so both Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn went down to that area.
Yeah.
Theresa May basically stuck around, kind of chatted with some of the fire people, and then once the actual civilians showed up, she basically rushed off to her little limo and took off as everyone was screaming murderer.
Yeah.
Whereas Jeremy Corbyn, because he's an actual human being with compassion and empathy, actually talked with all the people, got, hit deep in the masses, got, hugs and all that stuff, and he's also basically demanding that the government allow the surviving Greenfell residents, who of course are now homeless, to be able to live in some of those empty luxury penthouses that are currently empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching the fallout from this on one of my friends from the UK's Facebook page, and I really enjoyed seeing his local friends talk about, well, Theresa May said that it was too dangerous to go there, yet the Queen and the Prince show up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but it was too dangerous for her because people wanted her head on a platter because they knew.
And they probably would have gotten it. Because
they have. You had so many grieving families there with tensions running high. I mean, yeah.
They would have torn her to shreds. But, yeah, so...
She made her greed bed.
Yep. Yeah, and now she has to sleep in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, by the way, shout out to Chapo Trap House, which is now probably one of my favorite podcasts in the world. They did some good stuff about this subject recently. But anyway, so, assholes of the week, assholes responsible for the Greenfell fire. Now it's time for our hero of the week, and it's none other than former President Barack Hussein Obama. Who basically gave probably the most reasonable and probably eloquent response to The American Health Care Act.
Hmm.
Or, AKA Trump Care.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Let's see.
He said.
What did he say? Oh, it's a nice long statement.
Hmm. He basically wrote down a speech.
Hmm.
Yeah. Basically, it's just a giant fuck you.
And saying we should be working together to make actual health care better for everybody. Knowing
yeah.
that the ACA wasn't perfect, but didn't need to be scrapped
yeah.
for this seemingly not health care bill.
Yeah, like it's really not. It's a giant tax cut disguised as a health care bill.
Yeah, he calls it a massive transfer of wealth from the middle class and poor families to the richest people in America.
Yeah. And so here's what I find especially ironic in a really sad way. Does everyone remember back when the actual Affordable Care Act, when it came up to a vote? Everyone accused it of being this thing that was created, you know, in a back, dark, smoke-filled room without any prying eyes to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how yes, they're what? Treating the American Health Care Act.
Exactly what they decried. Doing. There's like, what, 12 senators working on it? No, it's an odd number, 13 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets to see it. It's gonna fuck everybody over. Sorry, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they finally just released information about it. And I saw a good description. It's like, it's somehow better than it, the House bill, but more evil.
Mm-hmm. This is gonna kill people.
Yep.
It will. And
it's going to kill millions of people.
You guys saw them taking out people in wheelchairs, in handcuffs yesterday.
Outside Mitch McConnell's office.
Protesting.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Hmm.
Sorry. I've really had it. You know, we all have.
Yeah.
It's time for guillotines.
Yeah.
All right, well. Hero of the week, Barack Obama, basically voicing pretty much the entire American people at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of weird feeling that, you know, the leader of the free world right now is Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
All right, well.
Wish she had company, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so to the show proper, of course, we've got a celebrity death. We have to talk about it was none other than the late, the great Adam West.
Yep.
Yeah.
89 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows he was the guy who played Batman back in the 60s. Basically kind of defined that character for a generation. And a few generations afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the movie that they made, the Batman movie?
The Tim Burton.
Oh, long time ago. Oh,
no, not the Tim Burton.
Oh, the Adam West one. Yeah.
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 That one is known for being especially goofy and corny. But you know, of course, after that, Adam West's career kind of had its ups and downs, to say the least. The dude kind of got typecast.
Hmm.
And of course, he had kind of a admittedly stilted acting style.
Yeah.
And
I want to say he was at one point offered the role of James Bond. Turned it down.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops.
Imagine if we got Adam West Bond. That would have been
oh my
crazy.
Gosh.
Mm-hmm. But of course, he managed to kind of, you know, take his Batman fame and kind of cash in on it. And eventually, he kind of made something of a comeback as a sort of basically himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually, he became his own character on Family Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he became a, what do you call it?
him.
Sensation. A something sensation.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
Basically, he took on the mayor persona, and it's basically a sort of childish sociopathic version of himself that is apparently completely insane.
Yeah.
And it worked very well.
Very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like he became more popular than what had made him popular. Not quite in the same way as Betty White. Mm. I don't think she's quite as popular as she was during Golden Girls, but like George Takei.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, pop culture sensations.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, and I'm pretty sure they did a, I think a DC, their own sort of animated direct-to-video film based around the, based around that particular Batman franchise, and they got both Adam West and what's-his-name to play Robin.
See, nobody remembers Robin.
Oh, yeah. God. Burt Ward.
Burt Ward, yeah. They got Adam West and Burt Ward. A.K.A. Birdie the Sex Machine. If you ever read that dude's autobiography, wow. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you were writing your own autobiography, wouldn't you kind of...
Yeah, probably. I definitely would.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from there, on to the news. So... Japan, Japan.
God, are they doing stuff again?
They're doing stuff again.
So, everybody knows who is the current Prime Minister of Japan right now, right? Shinzo Abe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He and his fellow MP, Diet Men, are coming up with basically a passed a bill that basically allows prosecutors to monitor and arrest terrorist groups or criminal organizations who are in the process of planning a crime. So,
Gattaca.
Minority Report.
That's what it was. Thank you. Didn't watch either.
Although, actually, I was also going to go for Psycho Pass since this is Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically they're going to make it a thought crime.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
Yeah, basically, it's they've left it to their credit. They've actually like enumerated 217 crimes, but they've left it vague enough that they could really just get you for anything.
That is actually kind of par for the course for legislation in Japan. They use a lot of when they make legislation, they tend to allow a lot of wiggle room. That's the reason why their censorship laws are so unbelievably stilted and convoluted.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I mean, just if you, of course, I'm going to bring this out. Just read your average hentai manga and the way that the censorship laws work on that. You know, back in the day, in like the 60s and 70s, you basically had to use symbolism. For genitalia, basically.
Yeah.
Nowadays, however, you can put the thinnest of the thinnest black strip across any offending areas, and it will legally pass as appropriate censorship.
Yeah.
Gee, what is this black bar jutting out of this man's crotch? I wonder what that is.
Yeah, of course, it's a major hassle for publishers, though, because, you know, some of these guys end up having to basically go in every so often into the local police stations in handcuffs. They don't really keep them very long. It's just sort of a bar for the course over there. Remember how they treated poor Joker in Persona 5? Yeah, that's actually not that unusual.
Yeah. But yeah, this bill is pretty shitty.
Yeah.
It looks like they're setting things up to basically be able to silence any dissent that they want. So yeah. That's nice.
Thunderball.
Unless, of course, they get ousted, in which case it's the moot point. But
yeah. Well, anyway. So, moving on from that. Oh, this is... Ooh, fuck. Yeah.
This could have been an asshole of the week, but...
Yeah, it could have been, but this happened a little late, so... Yeah, so Philando Castile. For those who don't know, he was the gentleman who was riding in a car with his girlfriend, and I'm guessing was his young daughter.
Four-year-old
young daughter in the back seat. He gets pulled over. He hands his, I think it was his insurance.
Yeah, driver license and all that stuff in there.
Well, not his driver's license. It was his insurance first that he handed over. And then as he's going for his ID, he tells the police guy that's next to him, he says, look, just to let you know, I have a licensed firearm on me. I'm a carrier. You know, I can show you my license if you want to. But it's near where my, you know, my identity is. So I got to go for it. And, so the cop says, well, then don't go for it. And he says, like, well, I got to. And then he fires off 7 shots. And kills the dude. Miraculously managing to miss both his girlfriend and the little girl in the back seat.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the guy who did that, he just walked.
Yeah, a jury found him not guilty, despite the fact that the entire thing was live streamed.
Well, not just the aftermath was live streamed.
Yeah.
then after the trial was over, they released the dash cam footage. And it showed that he was guilty as hell.
Yeah. So,
it's like, who are these people that watched this and didn't see enough to convict him on this?
Yeah.
It was the 12 people on there, it was mostly men, minority was women. There were only 2 black people on the jury, the rest were white people. You do the math.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of how the cops can just say they were fearful for their life.
Yeah.
They can get away with whatever.
And, of course, they've kicked him out of the police department.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to give him a nice severance package so he can restart his life, which I'm sure Philando Castile would like to know if he could restart, but he can't because he's fucking dead.
Yeah. And, his wife is a widow, so...
And did you guys see the video of the wife being handcuffed in the back and the daughter trying to say, Mommy, Mommy, be quiet? Oh, God. I can't watch it.
No, I have been alerted to it. I have seen a photograph of it. I am not going to watch it.
No, because it's...
Because if I do, I'm going to get my sod off and start dusting off some cops. Just... Fuck it. It's infuriating.
Yeah, Trevor Noah had some great things to say about this whole situation on The Daily Show, and talked a lot about how it's not really racism of the cop himself, it's racism of the whole police training system.
Yeah.
That they're taught to fear black people more than anybody else, because you notice when there are white serial shooters, they're often de-escalated down and get arrested fairly easily most of the time. And anybody that's black that even has a whiff of a crime most times does not get that chance.
No.
Like, they thought Philando Castile was somebody that robbed the store a few days earlier. And shot before they could do
he was
any
not
sort of testing.
Yeah. And then after he was dead, they claimed that they smelled marijuana and drugs in the car. There were no drugs in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were part of here talking about the defense for the cop, and he's talking about secondhand smoke for the girl and the girlfriend. It's like, what the hell? None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
Just fuck it, man.
Yeah.
Well, at least here on this next one, we've got at least some better news. So
there was something interesting as well. Lando Castile talked about how over the last 10 years since he got his license when he was 19, he had been pulled over 49 times.
Yeah.
And Trevor Noah talked about him being here in the U.S. for 6 years. He's probably been pulled over about 7 to 10 times, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how this weird thing that he does that his friends just finds hilarious is whenever he gets pulled over, he just throws his arms out the window. So there's no way that the cop can see him reaching for anything.
Mm-hmm.
He says he'd rather just be thought of as that weird guy that got pulled over than the threatening black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just one of those weird things that hopefully at some point the whole training system for police gets changed.
Yeah.
I have to ask, how many more people have to die before somebody decides to solve this shit? Like, seriously. And I'm not even necessarily talking about just regular civilians. I'm talking like police.
Yeah.
How many more police have to die before somebody finally gets that wild hair up their ass? It's like, man, maybe we need to do something.
Not while we have Blue Lives Matter people around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually saw one of those signs driving through town the other day.
Yeah. Anyway, but moving on from there, we've actually got some actual justice here. So everybody remembers that old chestnut Pizzagate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be complete bullshit.
People still believe it.
There are still some assholes that still believe it. The guy who ran Comet Ping Pong, which was the restaurant, he basically got death threats. It basically destroyed his business.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about the whole basement sex ring thing is there's no basement.
Yeah, that's the funny part. Yeah. The place doesn't have a basement. Mm. And, you know, so those who don't know, the owner of Comet Ping Pong, he's basically sued Alex Jones. He's suing, you know, Fox News. He's basically suing just about everyone out the ass.
Mm.
And I hope he gets all the money because he fucking deserves it.
Mm.
But in reference to that, that one douchebag who actually showed up in the at a Pizzagate with an automatic rifle.
Hmm.
Showed up at Comic Ping Pong because he wanted to do his quote-unquote own investigation. Yeah, he was just tried and convicted, and he's going to be sentenced to 4 years in prison.
Yep. I hope he meets a very nice big man in prison who will show him around. Yeah, that's about what I got to say about that.
Yeah, that was just God. You know, I want to think that this type of shit isn't actually increasing, that this type of bullshit has always been around, and that because we now have the social media, we're just more aware of it.
Hmm.
Still doesn't piss me. Still doesn't keep it from pissing me off.
Yeah. Well, even if it's the same amount as it's always been, now we know more, so we can do better.
Yeah.
But
we can do better, but most people don't.
We could.
Yeah.
Some people are just so damn pig-headed that they have to. They can't just admit they're wrong. They have to double down and
be jerks about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got another criminal story here, and this one's just kind of, well, not really criminal, but it's just kind of dumb. So it was recently revealed that back in 2013, that's about 4 years ago.
There was one right above that.
Oh yeah, there's that one. Actually, you know what? I'll just go ahead and do this one, and then I'll get to that one.
Okay, I'll move it.
Yeah. So, it was revealed that back in 2013, a bunch of contractors who were working for the CIA were fired because they had been stealing snacks from the vending machines.
They figured out how to hack the payment system.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well,
it involved unplugging a cable connecting the machines to an electronic payment system called Freedom Pay. Then using,
because of course,
quote unquote, unfunded Freedom Pay cards to buy the snacks at no cost. So I guess there was one guy that figured it out because he actually knew about. He was actually kind of the hacker of the office. So he figured this out and let others know.
Oh, dear.
And in the end, about $3,000 worth of snacks were stolen from these vending machines because they figured out this was going on and put security cameras by the machines. Figured out who exactly was pulling
this. Which I'm kind of surprised weren't already there.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't think CIA employees would be stealing snacks.
Yeah. See, this is the reason why I tend to be kind of suspicious of a lot of those CIA conspiracy theories. Because apparently they're a bunch of bumbling fuckwads.
Well, it's like every other workplace around.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, because this was sort of hidden. Then BuzzFeed, I guess, sued them for Freedom of Information Act. That finally
came through.
Yeah, 2015 they put it in, and it finally came through and figured out why these people were fired. And it was the dumbest reasons possible.
All right, well, next up we got some archaeological news. So over in the country of Argentina, they recently discovered a hidden treasure trove of Nazi artifacts that was found in a house near Buenos Aires. And, you don't know, that's the Argentina's capital.
Yeah.
This is surprisingly not shocking at all.
No, not really.
I think
it's kind of surprising is just the amount of stuff they found.
Yeah, they found a shit ton.
Yeah, 75 objects. Seems to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
They were hidden in a sort of hidden room in this house that apparently the people that owned it didn't know about.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff about Hitler himself, like a big
portrait or medallion.
Yeah, it looks like this, like a coin kind of design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Hitler's profile on it. They also found an hourglass with a swastika. Yeah, they also found, and they found a statue of course the German eagle standing on top of the swastika emblem, which is in turn on a base that also has a swastika.
Yeah.
Because you can't get enough of those, huh?
Yeah. But it should be pretty well known by now, but if you don't know, I'll just go ahead and talk about it. Argentina sort of became a haven for escaping Nazi war criminals after the war ended. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Isn't that where Adolf Eichmann scurried off to?
I want to say yes, but I could be wrong.
It's believed that. I think Joseph Mengele also tried to disappear there, too. They did find him. But, yeah, so Argentina basically was... Basically, the Nazis had this sort of underground organization called Odessa, where they helped... traffic... you know, party members and Waffen-SS members out of the country after Berlin fell. And they're still finding them, by the way. They recently found a dude in his mid-90s who turned out he was a camp guard at Buchenwald. So they're still finding these assholes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea that all this Nazi stuff that they found, and the fact that it was hidden so well that the people who lived there had no idea about it, also makes perfect sense. So let's see.
Yeah, and that, like, this stuff is not like replicas or anything like that. They're
actually original. Authentic.
Yeah.
There's like pictures of Hitler with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, there was a box of harmonicas, I'm guessing with swastikas on them. There were toys that were used to indoctrinate children. There's a photo negative of Hitler himself holding a magnifying glass, which is similar to the magnifying glass they found in one of the boxes.
And they say that this is, let's see, finding 75 original pieces is historic, could offer irrefutable proof of the presence of top leaders who escaped from Nazi Germany.
So agents with the International Police Force, Interpol, began following the collector. Because supposedly what happened is some collector had found these illicit objects and started selling them on the black market. Then they found the house, raided it, then they found a large bookshelf and got behind it, and they found a secret passage that had all of this shit inside of it.
The secret passage behind the bookshelf routine.
Yep.
Yeah, great thing to do. Start selling the stuff.
Yeah.
Make it easy for people to find you.
Well, I'm sure the historians in Berlin are going to be interested in this stuff.
Oh yeah.
All right. So next up. This next story. I got some stories about this. So the Southern Baptist Convention. For those of you who don't know, the Southern Baptist Convention is actually the largest organization of Baptist churches in the United States. It's called the Southern Baptist Convention because it was started by Baptist ministers in the Confederacy who supported slavery. Now, I need to point out I'll get to that, but anyway, the Southern Baptist Convention basically had a joint statement where they condemned the alt-right, but they basically only did this after they weighed all the pros and cons. I got some things I got to talk about here. despite what I said about the Southern Baptist Convention earlier, by the 1970s, they had actually just become a regular mainline Protestant denomination. All that other shit had long since been behind them. They'd gone through the civil rights stuff and everything. In fact, if you want to know just how different, like, the Southern Baptist Convention of, say, the 70s was compared to the Southern Baptist Convention now, just look at their joint statement after the Roe v. Wade decision, where they actually congratulated the justice, said human rights had been furthered, and that religious liberty was safe. Well, you're probably wondering, how the hell did the Southern Baptist Convention go from there to what it is now? Well, starting in the late 70s, there was a cabal of fundamentalist Baptist ministers who started a plan to slowly but surely take over the organization. They did it through backroom deals, through intimidation, through really, like, sleazy garbage. And if you're wondering why they did this, was it for ideology or, you know, religious conviction? No, it was money. So, quick little aside, my family's church Highland Hills Baptist Church here in Macon. They are actually members of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which is a moderate offshoot of the Southern Baptist Convention. They started forming up. They originally formed in the mid-90s, but eventually my church ended up leaving the Southern Baptist Convention and joining them in the late 90s when the SBC, and I think it was 1998, 1999, put out their faith and fellowship covenant where they basically forbid women deacons. And that was a major problem for my church because half of our deacons were women. And so the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, they actually have a small booklet that they'll give out for free for anyone who's looking for it called The Fundamentalist Takeover of the Southern Baptist Convention. And basically what it does is it points out by quotes, by information, by graphs and charts, showing how this whole thing happened and specifically the reasons why. And yes, it was all about the money. And they make no bones about it either. It's not just the fact that it was about the money. It was nakedly about the money. And it gets even more infuriating because, for those who don't know, in the early 2000s, the Southern Baptist Convention broke off from the World Baptist Conference or World Baptist Fellowship. I can't remember what it's called, but the International Organization of Baptists in the World.
Right.
Because, as they said, they thought it was getting too liberal. But the truth of the matter was, it's because they wanted all the money for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the thing you have to know about the Southern Baptist Convention is the way they treat the idea of converts and baptism. See, to them, converts and baptism isn't about saving souls or any of that. It's a numbers game.
Yep.
It's their all business model.
Yeah, that's all they want is that number that's on the wall to the side of the pulpit.
Yeah, and it's basically the Amway model,
mm-hmm.
where they basically literally the Southern Baptist Convention, the higher ups literally, you know, admonish and scold lower people if they don't get a significant number of converts. Like last year, they saw a 20% down decrease in the number of converts. And as you can probably guess, the higher ups in the convention were not happy about that.
Thank you, Internet. You're doing your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, of course, they, those of you who don't know, that one of the parts of the Southern Baptist Convention is the IMB, which is the International Missions Board. And recently they were stepping forward because they were going to work with the what's known as the Baptist Joint Committee on Religious Liberty, which is a fairly middle-of-the-road Baptist organization that works for religious freedom. And by religious freedom, I don't mean like the, you know, quote-unquote religious freedom. I mean, like, you know, various religious groups not being allowed to build their places of worship or having zoning problems, stuff like that.
I mean actual religious freedom.
Yeah. Like, you guys remember the infamous World Trade Center mosque, which actually wasn't anywhere near the World Trade Center, wasn't even on the same block.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Baptist Joint Committee were one of the people helping them get trying to defend them and getting that mosque built. So then the IMB recently got involved for another group of Muslims who were having problem getting a mosque built in New Jersey. And the guy who was the chairman of the IMB basically had to step down because a lot of the people in the Southern Baptist Convention apparently don't believe in religious freedom.
No. They believe in their own.
Yeah.
And not Christianity. Only Southern Baptism.
Yeah. And, you know, there was this one member of the IMB who basically said that if we let people build houses of false worship, are we not, you know, helping them go down the highway to hell, blah, 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 bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teresa, I'm going to say you've probably got some thoughts.
Oh, I am not even surprised that the reason your local church had to leave was because of the continued mistreatment of women.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I was affiliated with a Southern Baptist church. Mm-hmm. Because I lived in Kentucky, and eventually I got tired of those people fucking hounding me. Come on to church with us. Come on to church with us. And, you know, there were no other places to find boyfriends.
Yeah.
I mean, to be really
No, I don't blame you. I've been there.
Well, yeah, to be really frank about it, man, people go to church because they want to, you know, anyway.
Well, that's how my mom met my dad, believe it or not.
Lots of things.
And she's very open about it, too.
Yeah. Lots of things happen on those church vans.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in rural areas when you got a lot of space in between people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was involved with them for quite some time through junior high and high school. And when I got a full scholarship to a state university, which, you know, it's not a real big deal, full scholarship to a state university.
Hey, if you live in a rural area, that's still kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I was treated like the whore of Babylon because I took it instead of going to the local Baptist college, mm-hmm. the Bible college, which, by the way, has been shut down, and, you know, over a decade's worth of people's degrees are worthless because they were not accredited.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really was the fucking icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
I had been sitting there since I was 6-year-old thinking, man,
this is kind of bullshit.
This is not adding up here. And up here in Illinois in an independent Baptist church, and man, I got
oh Lord, that's the you said independent Baptist. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, the Sunday school teacher who used to take white out and remove Jesus' long hair and beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for to those of you who maybe are foreign listeners don't understand what we're talking about, independent Baptist churches are churches who think the Southern Baptist Convention is too liberal.
Yeah.
So they basically break off and become their own independent churches.
Yeah.
And they're basically about as cranky and reactionary and authoritarian as you can possibly think of. Mm. If you're watching on YouTube and you're seeing one of those crazy-ass preachers, and I don't mean necessarily like a megachurch preacher, but like, you know, Steve, what was that dude's name? Steve Anderson?
I don't know.
You know, just if you know, go on like YouTube and look up bad preacher. You'll see these guys 9 times out of 10. You know, like that fat white old dude going, "Our president is a black Muslim," and
yes.
You know he's saying that even though there's like 2 young black kids sitting behind him. Yeah, more than likely that's an independent Baptist church.
Well, in the Southern Baptist one, they were horrible to the black people that they tried to allegedly reach out to.
Oh, and those you don't know, the current president of the SBC is actually a black man. Just, but it's kind of a token thing. But yeah.
But I saw the youth director pull them aside and say, "Now you're not just here to steal our white girls, are you?" And I was just like, oh, God.
You know? The reason you don't hear about this stuff is because the SBC has really good PR, despite what you might think.
Yeah.
Reason we can tell you all this stuff is because we actually experience this shit.
Yeah.
But,
So much bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
So much bullshit.
You know, like I remember once, you know, I asked the Bible teacher, "Hey, so in the Bible it says that, you know, Jesus is the Messiah because he's from the house of David, right?" "Yeah." "And how is he traced back to the house of David?" "He was Father Joseph." But I thought Joseph wasn't actually his dad. Like, no, God was his dad. So then how is he... Okay,
you're asking
who
too
was
many questions, kid.
Yeah, no, I learned to stop asking questions when I lived up here in Independent Baptist. You don't ask. You don't ask. You just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Until you explode.
Yeah.
In a big fiery ball of fuck yous.
Yeah.
The point is that these people now have found the alt-right to be reprehensible. So how...
Well, it helps that, you know, part of the reason might be due to the fact that, you know, a good chunk, if not half, of the alt-right are actually atheists.
Well, yeah, but still. They're also horrible people, so there.
Yeah, I have a feeling, though, that the atheist part is a big part of it.
But one horrible group condemning another horrible group, I mean, at the end of the day here, I am not impressed.
No, not really.
It's like the Klan condemning the Westboro Baptist Church, which they actually did once.
Yeah, so.
Anyway. All right, Pat, you're up. NHL new Adidas uniforms.
If he's still around.
Nah, he might have gone on to bed.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Friday nights are hard.
Yeah. Let's move on to Michael Phelps then.
All right, we'll move on. Okay. So next up, we got some stuff about Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps, arguably the greatest swimming athlete who is currently alive.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just read this article.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, the Discovery... Okay, so everybody knows Discovery Channel is getting ready to do their...
Their yearly Shark Week.
They're very famous, very popular, and in hindsight, very stupid, Shark Week. And somehow they managed to wrangle in Michael Phelps, who is going to race a great white shark.
Can't make this shit up, folks.
The crazy thing is we don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah. Mm.
I'd imagine he's going to be in a long cage or something.
So
like, or is he going to be like a glass divide?
Or they might just, or it could be they're just going to time both of them separately.
Are they going to put one of his toes at the end of the lane for the shark to go after? What's going on here?
I don't know, but it's stupid as
hell. They have to put something in there to draw the shark. So.
Yeah.
And the Instagram pictures they have, it seems like it's open water that they're doing us in.
Oh.
It's like, how do you even get the shark to even...
I'm going to take a real guess that they're going to put like a bucket or chum or something at one end, and it's going to...
Probably. Yeah.
But, ain't the poor shark suffered enough?
Oh, God. I think Shark Week may have jumped the shark. Just so.
Shark Week's probably done more damage to the shark population than Jaws at this point.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, Jaws and, you know, shark fins combined.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, so okay, we got some science news. Astronomers recently discovered that Jupiter actually has two new moons that they didn't previously know about, so now it brings the total up to 69.
That's a lot of moons.
Yeah, that's a lot of moons.
I'm wondering if somebody there just didn't have to say that's no moon.
That
probably happens every time they look at Jupiter at this point.
And knowing those bunch of geeks, they were probably snickering about the fact that the total is now 69.
No, are we not snickering about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, if you think that these, like, really intelligent science guys are, like, all dignified, no, they're not.
No, they're a bunch of dorks.
We know these people. We know some of these people.
And they should wear horrible Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
Going back to a rather old story.
Well, I mean, do you know the type of work that usually goes into doing this type of shit? Because it ain't all, you know, looking into telescopes all day. There's lots of calculations and shit and watching monitors.
Yep.
Pretty downtime.
Yeah, lots of downtime.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is sort of the, they mentioned here the variety of orbits that these moons have. Like the shortest is 7 hours, up to 1,000 days for the longest ones that are hanging way out.
Oof. That's
a long year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
with
60,
with 69 of them, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be starving for moons.
No,
there's plenty of them going around there.
Yeah, they talk about how most of them are barely 1 to 2 kilometers in size.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty small stuff to catch.
Yep. Yep.
Unless you have, say, like the Juno spacecraft that's going around Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Helps them catch some of these.
Mm.
But these ones are about 21 million kilometers and 24 million kilometers away from Jupiter.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty far off.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, in other science news that honestly is funny, but at the same time doesn't really surprise me all that much. Scientists recently discovered that Australia was once absolutely filled with giant turkeys. Giant turkeys that just roamed around.
Yeah, about as tall as kangaroos.
Because apparently nothing can exist in Australia without being oversized and bloodthirsty.
And these things could fly, too.
Oh, shit. God.
Yeah, so they figured out these...
buy one of them.
Yeah, these are megapode birds.
Mm.
That existed somewhere between 10,000 years ago and 1.6 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, they describe, the other type of bird of this type is what they described as a nuggety chicken. It has short legs and broad bodies.
I want chicken kids.
Yeah, these tall turkeys had long, slender legs, not too dislike the emus and all that, ostriches.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Could actually fly and generally hung out on tree limbs.
Yeah, so of course these giant bastards could swoop down.
Man, yeah. Could you imagine those bitches getting up at dawn on the top of your building and running around? Yeah. They'd be like 500 times the size of Canada geese, and they make a shit ton of noise.
Mm-hmm.
And these things only weigh about 17 pounds, so not that heavy.
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, about 4'3" tall.
I mean, man, that's probably as much as a Canada goose. Those little things look like they weigh, or big things, big nasty things, look like they weigh about a good 20 pounds.
Yeah.
They probably don't.
They found these fossils in the 1880s.
Mm-hmm.
Thought they were just one type of bird, but found out about 5 different species they came from. They mentioned some of the other weird stuff they found. All stuff has been found in the Thylacoleo caves beneath Australia's vast Nullarbor Plain. Weird name. Which they discovered about 15 years ago and found a bunch of evidence of various weird species that existed a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
See, like 7 new species of kangaroo used to live there. New frog species, 2 giant ground cuckoos, and now these 2 megapodes. So
Dang.
They're just finding more new stuff.
Yeah.
And so not only did we have, so not only does Australia have giant spiders, freaking giant, you know, birds, you know, drop bears and.
Platypuses.
They also had giant freaking turkeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did at one point.
By the way, you guys know what a drop bear is, right?
Tell me.
You don't know what a drop bear is? You know what a koala is, right?
Yes, the stupidest fucking animals on the face of the earth other than pandas.
Yeah. Imagine a koala, except it's a carnivore and it drops down from the trees and tries to eat you.
Oh, Jesus, fuck no. Why? Why? I have to sleep tonight, Brandon.
That's why you only hang out in the cities.
There's a reason why, you know, almost no one lives in the outback in Australia.
Yeah.
Alright, well.
Everything wants to kill you in the Outback.
Yeah. Anyway, so, next up, we got some... This is really weird. So, scientists are... Frankly, they're just at a loss for words at these huge swarms of what they call pyrosomes that are suddenly appearing along the Northwest Pacific coast. Those of you don't know what these are, they're basically tropical tube-shaped animals that tend to glow. And there's just swarms of them that are starting to wash up on the shore there. Yeah, so if you look at the pictures of these things, they're not small.
No, they're not.
And
they look like drywall sinks.
Yeah, they do. That is not what those are. Those things used to be alive.
Yeah. Now they're glowing.
Well, about how long are these things?
They've got
2 feet long.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's God. That's the major. 2 feet long. Some of them are about maybe half a foot. They range in size.
And I guess when they, if you try to handle one of these things, it just starts oozing.
Yeah.
Goo all over your hands.
Yep. I'm pretty sure these are actually like deep sea animals that spend most of their time in the darker parts of the water. And I'm guessing because of climate change, just a shit ton of them died off and now they're starting to wash up in the Northwest. Cool.
Well, but climate change isn't a thing, Brendan.
Yeah, don't you know?
Well, they talk about here while the ocean waters are kind of starting to cool a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's more life and plankton and such appearing than there had been the last few years. Then this shit starts showing up. You're like, what the hell is going on now?
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned ResearchNet pulled up about 60,000 of these things in 5 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Up near Alaska. So pretty much from Oregon up to Alaska, they're finding these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, anyway.
Sad part of it is that it's probably like these things probably exude like an enzyme that cures cancer and stuff, and we don't even know about it.
Yeah. Wonderful. So
we'll figure it out after the last one dies because of, you know, greenhouse gases.
Yeah. So, here's another weird medical story. So, there is this particular species of tick that carries a particular enzyme or allergen that, if it bites you, it will infect you with a red meat allergy. And it has started spreading across the United States.
Yeah, it's migrating because of climate change along with brown recluse. And all sorts of things that we used to not have to worry about because our cool winters took care of it.
Yeah.
Fuck me, right?
Yeah. How's it feel, Yankees?
I moved the fuck away from the South to get away from all this shit. I didn't want to deal with Lyme disease. I didn't want to deal with brown recluse. And now, hello, Phil. Hello, neighbor. I'm coming.
Yeah, so I guess if you get bitten by one of these, you get unscratchable itching, the angry blossoming of hives, stomach cramping, and for the unluckiest few, difficulty breathing, passing out, and even death. But if everything goes perfectly, you end up with an allergen to a specific sugar enzyme that is in all red meat.
Yep.
So no more steaks, bacon, beef, any of this stuff.
The vegetarian tick.
Yeah, it's actually called the Lone Star tick.
Yeah.
Because it, I guess, has a spot on it that kind of looks like Texas.
Texas.
Isn't that ironic?
In a way, yeah.
Because, you know, guess who state is a big part of the beef industry?
Yeah. Yep.
Now you're all allergic, bitches.
Yep. All right, so now we got our entertainment news. Shout Factory is planning on streaming 38 episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 starting on the 26th.
The new ones are real fun if you guys haven't watched them yet.
So that's going to be Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of these are on Netflix already, so you don't necessarily need this, but I'll get for the lazy people on Twitch.
Well, yeah, but if you just want to tune in,
watch random things.
That too.
So that's pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to check out the new ones yet, so I could probably going to do that soon.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So. Gypsy flies, and often to great comic value.
Okay.
All right. Now, in other entertainment news, Star Trek Discovery is going to debut tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow.
September 24th.
Dude. September.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's
I know
be
you want it really quickly, but yeah.
Yeah, it will be debuting on the September 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah, on regular CBS. Then right after that airing ends, the second episode is going to be on CBS All Access, the new streaming service. And then every Sunday after that. They're splitting it. Yeah, they're splitting up the first season so that they're doing the first 8 episodes, taking a break, and then starting the second half of the season in January.
Doctor Who did that split season shit, too.
What is it going to be, a 12-episode season?
13.
Or,
13?
Mm-hmm. No,
15.
8
and
7. Oh,
okay. Oh, so it's pretty substantial there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope this is good.
It better
I really
be
hope
good.
This is good.
Yeah. We're still doing our watch through. We're in Voyager. I think we're in season 5 or 7. We're in season 6 now. I'm sure we are. No, maybe we're not. I don't know. We don't have very much further to go.
Yeah.
It'll be curious to see how this does for their streaming service. Kind of we're the only ones getting punished with this. Yeah. Canada, it's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah.
Any other countries around the world are doing the same thing. 188 countries, it's going to be on Netflix. And
U.S.? Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. I have a confession to make. Star Trek has never really appealed to me that much. It just doesn't.
I could see you getting to Deep Space Nine. I could see you enjoying that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so, okay, up next we got some Star Wars news. So, as everybody knows, the way that Disney is doing this is that with each, you know, proper installment of Star Wars saga, there's going to be the following year, there's going to be the movie that is basically the spinoff.
Yeah.
So, like, the last one was
Rogue One.
The next one, of course, I'm pretty sure the Last Jedi comes out this holiday. So
yeah, it's this year.
Yeah.
And then the next one is supposed to be the Han Solo prequel.
Yeah.
But apparently that film's directors have actually left the project over creative differences.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well.
Yeah, for the record, Disney has not changed the release date. They still say it's going to come out holidays of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the president of Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, said she normally hates the phrase creative differences, since it's usually used in sort of a diva Hollywood way, usually, but that it's not really the case for this. It's just a matter of the kind of the way they wanted to do the movie wasn't necessarily the way that the studio wanted it, and not really in a this is a shitty way or anything like that. So
just different direction.
Yeah.
So what they've got now is going to be Ron Howard.
And isn't he doing The Gunslinger?
Yeah,
that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Ron Howard, you know, he's had his share of amazing movies, and he's also had his share of clunkers. So, you know, on the one hand, we got, you know, Cocoon.
Apollo 13, A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. And on the other hand,
don't want to think about it.
Well, he's done good and he's done bad. We're just going to have to see how it goes.
Yeah. I think this is the first time he's ever done, well, anything big like Star Wars, though. So
Yeah.
It will be fun to see.
Yeah. All right, so, and finally, we finally got the trailer for the Black Panther movie. Yeah. And holy crap, does it look awesome.
Yes, I think Marvel has another hit here.
Yep.
It's like, I want to see this bad.
Oh, yeah. Damn, the costume design and the freaking effects, man, they are amazing looking.
Yeah. Oh. Like, I'm not too familiar with the Black Panther storyline, and I think, you know, this is probably going to bring a lot of people who weren't into it.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Black Panther is the king of a secretive utopian country in the middle of Africa called Wakanda. It's scientifically advanced. It's basically the opposite of much of the surrounding parts of Africa. And yeah. Also in the comics, he is married to Storm. Did you guys hear about the sort of minor controversy about the movie poster?
No, but...
Because people claim, it's Black Panther, he's sitting on a throne, you know, because he's the king of Wakanda. And there was talk from certain sectors saying he looked too black and militant.
Really?
Yeah, really.
People are just going to be upset about anything, I think, at this point. Doesn't really matter what it is.
I mean, he's a king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's black.
Yeah.
I mean, he's African.
Yep.
Granted, not all Africans are black, but this particular part of Africa.
Yeah.
This
particular individual is. So.
And he is a king, so he has to be kind of militant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking?
Hmm?
I think it's time we nuke Kekistan.
Yeah.
Nuke Kekistan and openly advocate for Kekicide. Because these Pepe motherfuckers are going too far.
Yeah.
God damn it. But, so the Black Panther movie, God, they are going to, you know, I'm seeing this is going to be like their next Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be a massive hit.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool to have sort of potential for an impact, sort of the way Wonder Woman has done.
Yeah.
For a lot of the female audience.
Yeah. I've been told that, you know, this is kind of a boon for a lot of black cosplayers. I mean, it's good. It's a boon for cosplayers in general because, holy crap, like I said, those
costume designs are amazing.
Amazing, yeah. Yes.
And you're also going to have a lot of black actors in this as well.
Yeah.
Getting into
especially that Amazonian brigade he had. Holy crap, those women are hot. But anyway. All right, so I do believe we have a show, folks.
Yes, we do.
And managed to keep it under 2 hours as well. All right, so I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you would like to write into the show, have a question you'd like to ask us, or something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. And also on top of iTunes, you can also listen to our show on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and pretty much every other format under the sun. Just type our name in. It's a pretty good 50-50 chance that we're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And, hey, if you got a comment section there, give us a comment, man. We pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
Please?
Yep. Please.
Anyway, so, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo DiNaldo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Delogie and Teresa Sam. As I like to say, good night.